Lord.
I'm not surprised that there are so many contributions, but I'm surprised that there are some things I expected to hear I didn't hear. First and foremost, the Bible says here that Jesus was hungry. And he caused. I think that should tell you, first and foremost, that hunger is a dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. That should be a big lesson to wives. You cannot predict what your husband will do when he is hungry. So if you don't want trouble, wives, and one of the reasons Jesus Christ became man is so that he can feel what human beings feel. Because as God, he doesn't feel hunger. So he has to become a man so he will know what hunger means. He has to become a man so that he will know what it is to be tired. He has to be a man to know what it is to be thirsty. Because when he was on the cross, considering the pains in his hands, the pains in his feet, the pain from the crown of thorn, he still cried out for water. Having felt hunger, having felt thirst, you can then understand fully the meaning of Matthew 5 verse 6. Matthew 5 verse 6. Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He had tasted hunger. He had tasted thirst. There is a guarantee that if you truly hunger and thirst after what is right, you will get it. I hunger and thirst to see revival in Russia.
Amen.
And in Europe as a whole.
Amen.
Well, and in the whole world.
Amen.
And I believe that what my eyes have started to see in Africa, we also see in Europe.
Amen.
And I thought somebody fresh from the convention will just be repeating my sermon that I preached on this particular passage. Because I preach on this during the convention. Don't tell God about your mountain. Tell your mountain about your God. And I thought somebody would just repeat that one, then I would have just smiled. But it appears nobody heard me when I was preaching. Or if they heard, probably they didn't take it too much to heart. But it's very important. Because like somebody just mentioned, Micah chapter 6 verse 1. Micah 6 verse 1. The Bible says, let the hills hear your voice. We'll find it again in Ezekiel 6:3. Ezekiel 6:3. And Ezekiel 36:4. Ezekiel 36:4. You can speak to hills, you can speak to mountains. They have ears. They can hear. But the important point I really want to focus on this morning is the dangers of a curse. The dangers of a curse. Jesus cursed the tree. The Bible specifically told us that the disciples heard him. The Bible does not write anything without a purpose. It means God deliberately made sure they heard. I can then imagine that as they were going, Peter in particular must have been looking back and see the tree still remaining green, beautiful as ever. Probably must have whispered to John, "The Lord miss it on this one." Because he will speak to blind eyes and blind eyes will open immediately. He will speak to leprosy, leprosy will disappear. He will speak to the dead will come forth. Now he has spoken to a tree, nothing has happened to the tree. It's as green as ever. Which is why when they were returning, the same Peter, now look at the fig tree. Wanted to see, has anything happened? Biggest danger of a curse, as the elders will say in Africa, is that the proverb is that you cursed a child. Using the Iroko tree, and the child is looking back, does he think that the curse will act on the same day? The greater danger of a curse is that it goes straight to the root and begins its actions there. The leaves might still be there. Everything might still look okay. But the moment a curse is spoken, it's gone into the root of the fellow concerned. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 to 22, 2 Kings 2, 19 to 22, when the men of Jericho came to Elisha, telling him of the effects of a curse that was pronounced long ago by Joshua, he asked them to bring in salt in a new cruse and went to the source of the river to apply the salt to bring an end to the curse. The curse goes to the root. The Bible tells us specifically the tree was dried up from the root. Like blessing, because curse is the exact opposite of blessing. A curse begins to operate from the moment it's pronounced. Immediately. Genesis 27, 30 to 33, Genesis 27 from verse 30 to 33 tells us that when Isaac blessed Jacob in Haran, even as Jacob was stepping out, Esau came back. I'm kidding. And the father discovered he has made a mistake. But listen to what he said. "I have blessed him, and he shall be blessed." The moment a blessing is pronounced, it begins to work. The moment a curse is pronounced, it begins to work. That's why I tremble when I see a pastor breaking away with a church. Oh, things will look beautiful. The leaves will remain green. And he will say, oh God, thank you for freedom at last. But if he left with what does not belong to him, a curse is already spoken. It doesn't have to come out of the mouth of the overseer. There is a curse that goes with stealing. And it begins to act from the root. By the time the fellow cursed will realize that he's cursed, because the problem is coming from the root. The root is already detached from the source of life. There's always very little that could be done to reverse the damage. A curse produces the forces necessary to carry out its destructive work. Because like I said during the convention, a blessing is a summon to all the forces in heaven and on earth, everywhere, to help a man succeed. A curse is a summon to all the forces to cause a man to fail. Find a good example in 2 Kings chapter 2, from verse 23 to 24. 2 Kings chapter 2, 23 to 24. Elisha was minding his own business, and then some children came and began to mock him. Bible says he turned and cursed them. As soon as he finished speaking, a she-bear came out of the bush and began to bring to pass the curse. I've always asked the question, was the she-bear waiting to give? I don't think so. Think the moment the man of God spoke, because someone the sheep from wherever to come and do the destructive work of a curse. Another terrible example you will find is in Genesis 31. Genesis 31 from verse 26 to 32. Genesis 31, 26 through 32. There was this situation. Jacob was running away from the father-in-law. The father-in-law caught up with him and said, okay, you're running away. Why do you steal my God? And Jacob thought, ooh, who steal? Neither. He didn't know that his wife stole one. And Jacob said, whoever stole your God, let the fellow die. And the curse heard and began a work on Richard. You know the rest? Genesis 35. 16 to 19. Genesis 35, 16 to 19. So the curse waited until the day when she was to deliver. That's an opportunity to kill somebody who had been cursed to die. The curse is a very frightening thing. I've seen it at work, again and again and again. And you've had me tell of a man in my village who, when I was young, was the most brilliant person in the village. You know, the village is small, so you know everybody, almost everybody who went to school. He was so brilliant, the teachers loved him. One day he came home crying, and the parents couldn't believe it because the teacher never beat him. He was so good. What's the problem? Why are you crying? The teacher beat you. He said, no, why are you crying? He said, he came second in class. And he was sobbing, but it had never happened before. This man would probably have been the first professor in my village. But then one day, he beat up his mother. And the mother touched her two breasts and said, unless you didn't suck milk from this breast, that's when you will prosper. We were little then, and we had it, we didn't know the meaning, we saw that something bad had happened. I mean, you don't beat up your mom. Not long after that, fellow came back from school one day and said, he's not going to school anymore. Why? You know, in those days, well, the lorries, big lorry, Bedford, or Austin, some of you are too young to know those lorries. When they come to town, because the roads were untied, they have somebody they call the apprentice, they call the kekereoko. And the kekereoko has a big log of wood. So when the lorry is parked, they use the big log of wood to shock it at the back so that it won't go backwards. And when the lorry is moving, the kekereoko will wait till the lorry has moved away, then he will pick the log of wood, run after the lorry, throw in the log of wood, and then swing himself in. He said he loved the swinging. As everybody said, well, it's all right, there's some drivers who are making good. They thought, well, maybe that's the way. So he became an apprentice. Then one day he saw some drummers. They just came to the village to perform. And he said, no more following the lorry. I want to be a drummer. So he went away with the musicians. Apparently the musician, well, you know, in those days, musicians only make money during festival and festive seasons. The one making enough money was almost dying of hunger. Then he just came one day and he said, in those days when you want to saw wood, you go into the bush, you cut down a big wood, you dig a hole, roll the wood on top of it, and then there's this huge saw. Somebody will go inside the hole, one will stand on top of the wood, and then they begin to pull. The one up will pull up, the one down will pull down. And as they doing, as they are doing so, they will say, hey, he, hey, he said he liked the sound. He entered off the night guard. A man who would have been because the mother was the cousin. However, Proverbs 26 verse 2. Proverbs 26 verse 2 said, a curse will not come without a cause. There must be something that will cause a curse to stick. In Numbers 23, verse 19 to 21, Numbers 23, verse 19 to 21, Balaam said to Balak, "The reason I can't curse Israel is because God has seen no iniquity in Israel. You ask me to curse them? Well, God looked up and sees there's nothing to curse here. These people are not doing anything evil." Balak was very angry. "I asked you to come and curse these people, you are blessing them." Balaam said, "Hey, let me teach you a lesson. You see what God said? These people have not sinned. So that's why I will teach you what to do. Allow them to stay. Invite them to your idol worship. When they come, let your beautiful girls dress half naked. These people will then look at your girls. They will fall in love with them. They will do what God said they shouldn't do. And then leave them. God himself will finish them." And of course he did. And God got angry. Thousands fell. When God the Father curses, the first time he cursed, "My prayer for you this morning is you will never do anything that will cause the Almighty to curse you."
Amen.
Because if your biological father curses you, your spiritual father can cancel the curse. If your spiritual father curses you, the one who ordained him can cancel the curse. If the general overseer curses you, maybe if you fast day and night for about 30 days when you're about to die, God may speak to the general overseer and say, "All right, be sober, remove the curse." If God curses you, to whom will you appeal? When God the Father curses, terrible things happen. For example, the first time he cursed, Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 to 14, Genesis 4, verse 3 to 14, he placed a curse on Cain. Cain, as you know very well, was the firstborn of mankind. He was to be the inheritor of double blessing of Adam. But God caused him and he became a vagabond. Why? Because he killed his brother. Oh, we say, "Oh, okay, murder is a terrible thing. There's no way I could commit murder. Even when I wasn't born again, that wasn't in my blood." But it's a little more than that. Cain was cursed because he wasn't worshiping God properly. And the one who was doing it properly, he attacked. So if you know you are not ready to do the will of God properly, don't disturb somebody else who wants to. Because if you do, you'll be in the same category as Cain. And in case you don't believe that story, well, all you need to do is go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. I remember the story of a woman called Micah who saw David dancing, praising God. She wasn't praising God, but she saw a king dancing, praising God, and she ridiculed him. The Bible says she died barren. Go through the old scriptures. The only fellow who were told who was barren who died barren is that single woman. Because she saw somebody who was doing what God loved, and she wasn't doing it. She would have kept her mouth quiet, I'm not going to do it. But hindered somebody who would have done it. Unfortunately, you'll find quite a few ministers of God in that category. I said, for example, in Nigeria to my pastors, I want us to double every year. Well, quite a few people who consider the thing impossible, but they kept their mouth shut. Determined that they would do their best and leave the rest to God. But there were some who spoke out loud and clear. It cannot be done. Don't mind this old man. We can't do it. We have to cry to God for mercy for them. Because by that same action, wow, they have put themselves in the same category again. What happens when God the Son causes? As we see here, he caused the tree for being fruitless. In the kingdom of God, there's no room for uselessness. Luke chapter 13, verse 6 to 7. Luke 13, 6 to 7. A man planted a vineyard. He came, first year, no fruit on the tree. Second year, third year. So he called the vine dresser. This tree is here, occupying ground, eating my food, drinking my water, producing no fruit. What did he say should be done to it? Cut it down. There's no room for uselessness in the church of God. No excuse at all. God will not listen to your excuse for not winning souls. No excuse for your church not growing. He won't listen to any excuse. He doesn't want to hear. Oh, this nation is different from Nigeria. Oh, Nigeria, everybody wants to become a Christian. Who told you? Oh, you preach one sermon now and thousands respond. Was it like that at the beginning? Was there not a price paid to soften the ground? I remember the first time we heard a crusade at the University of Ibadan. And I preached, and 40 lecturers gave their life to Jesus. 40. We were drunk with joy. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. Because every Christian present in that hall, they were carrying themselves. Everybody was picking up their neighbor, dancing. How many souls? 40. Because that was a miracle then. 40 lecturers. And some students, of course, inclusive. Today, we will weep if I go to UI and preach a sermon. And less than 400 answer the altar call. We will weep. We will ask ourselves, what have we done? Where have we failed? There have been years of praying, years of fasting, years of night vigil that had gone before. to soften the ground. And if Jesus said, look out, don't say there's a season coming for harvest, but the field is already white for harvest. If he said white more than 2,000 years ago, is he a liar? Oh, here, they don't want to hear. Who told you? Who told you? I mean, I had some visitors, some Russian visitors yesterday, and the bishop said something that shook me. He said in his organization, they are asking the youth to volunteer 1 year of their life for preaching the gospel, just as we do youth service. And he tells me, we get many of them every year. I said, what did you say? Even we are not doing that yet. Asking young boys, young girls, to sacrifice a whole year of their life for the gospel. And I think, I can't remember how many people he said he got. 500 volunteers. In Russia. And he said, hey, they don't want to hear the gospel. 500 young men and women say, I'm good this year. To just go and preach the gospel. And some of you will tell me, they don't want to hear, at least those 500 heard, they received, to the extent that they were willing to make sacrifices. When you hear me tell stories of what happened in those days of persecution, most of the stories centered around Russia. I've told you here the story of two brothers who were asked to deny Jesus Christ when communism was at its height. And they refused. And they said, we will burn you at stake if you refuse. They still refused. And so, the younger brother and the elder brother reached an agreement. When the fire is on, if the grace of God is sufficient for you, signal to me by raising your thumb. And the fire began to burn. And the elder brother signaled to the younger brother with his right thumb up to say, the grace of God is sufficient for me. Because the pain was terrible, because with somebody being born. The younger brother raised his two thumbs. His grace is more than sufficient. Yeah, in Russia. When I tell you the stories of those who were asked, who were taken to, was it Siberia or somewhere, very cold something, and they were put in very cold lake, and the soldiers sat on the shore, you know, warming themselves by fire. Some of you have heard me tell this story before. Some of you probably never have. And there were three boys who they pushed them into the cold water naked in that terrible cold something. And they said, all you need to do to come out of that lake and join us warming yourself is to say, I deny Jesus. And the three boys were there, freezing to death. And one of the boys thought, I thought Jesus would come and save me. Yeah, he's not showing up. I think I better deny him. And he was coming out of the lake. And God opened the eyes of one of the soldiers. He saw that as they were just on the point of death, An angel was hovering over each one with a crown. The moment that boy was coming out of the lake, the angel was about to fly away. And the soldier who saw it cried out to the angel, "Angel, wait, I will take the crown." So the boy was coming out, the soldier jumped in to go and die with the tree, so he could receive the crown. Russia. Who told you Russia cannot be saved? No room for uselessness in the house of God. God does not listen to excuses. Only failures make excuses. When the Holy Spirit causes, because we're taking in God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, you will find that in Acts 13, verse 6 to 12. Acts 13, 6 to 12. It was to remove an obstacle to soul winning. Paul was preaching to a governor. There was this sorcerer who was trying to hinder the deputy, they call him, from giving his life to Jesus Christ. Paul, the apostle of grace, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his eye on him and said, you are cursed. Thank God he just said you'll be blind for a season. I'm still trying to find out from God why he put the word a season. Maybe so that he will be able to see later on when he sees the governor become a true Christian and doing wonders for God. But you see, everything has to do with fruit bearing, doing the work of God. When God causes, it can only be to remove somebody who's not going to allow souls to be won. Let me close by saying this. How do I change a curse to a blessing? It's all up to you. Oh, we know a curse works from the root. We know a curse flows downhill like a river. If the Father is cursed, so is the Son, and on. But if the Son decides to jump out of the river of curse, the river will flow on and the Son will be spared. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 1 to 7, Genesis 49, verse 1 to 7, when Israel was about to die, he pronounced a curse on some of his children. One of them was Levi. But he said, "You'll be scattered. It won't amount to anything." He said, "Reuben will be useless. Levi scattered in Israel." And then by the time we got to Numbers chapter 3, verse 6 to 13, Numbers 3, 6 to 13, God said, that Levi that his father said is going to be scattered, Moses, bring him near to me. I want him as my firstborn. Why? Because in Exodus 32, from verse 25 to 26, Exodus 32, 25 to 36, when Moses went to the mountain and the children of Israel thought he had been gone for too long and they started worshiping an idol, Moses returned and found them naked, dancing before an idol. And knowing the kind of people he was dealing with, they could pick up stones and said they want to stone him. Bible said, he stood at the gate and cried, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me." Levi, with all his children, cross over to the side of Moses. Who is on the Lord's side? Levi said, I am on the Lord's side. And God said, in that case, I'm on your side. The curse pronounced by your father, I cancel. Instead of you being scattered, you will be drawn near. Instead of you becoming a nobody in the nation, you will be my priest. Amen. Maybe you need to examine your life this morning, because if there's anything I've learned about God, is that there's nothing that happens by accident with him. The open heavens for this year have been completed since March last year. So at the time the open heavens was being concluded last year, March, I had no idea that I would be in Russia today. So I didn't choose the topic of today specifically to suit you. God did. Because he knows everything. Because he knows there might be just one fellow in this room right now who is reeling under a curse, either pronounced by his father, or pronounced by a husband, or pronounced by a man of God. And he just, in his infinite mercy, might be here saying, let's deal with the curse. So if you look at your life, will I be under a curse because I have not pulled my weight in soul winning? Could I be under a curse because I have hindered those who wanted to work for God from going full blast for him? Have I offended someone with enough authority to curse me, that even if they didn't say a word, because I'd already been spoken? Then maybe you need to go to God and say, well, whatever it is I've done wrong, I'm on your side now, and I will go with you all the way. Sure, he will look down in mercy and say, all right, if you're on my side, I'm on your side. Shall we go to God in prayer? Thank you, Father. Let us begin to bring our prayers to a close, even as we commit today to God's hands, that all the programs of today will receive a blessing from God, that the Almighty God will summon all the hosts of heaven to help us to succeed today brilliantly. And that he will do what he had never done before in Russia during this week. That he will bring thousands of souls to God, who will become great disciples, and the Almighty God will use to bring about revival in this Russia. Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Eternal Rock of Ages, we are saying good morning to you. Thank you for waking us up today. Thank you because we know you have the ability to change curses to blessings.
Amen.
Thank you for speaking to us.
Amen.
Please accept our thanks in Jesus'
name. Amen.
Father, we pray that if there be any curse or curses upon any of your children here today, and those who are listening to us all over the world, as many of them as will decide to be 100% on your side from now on, please cancel the curses.
Amen.
And repeat replace every curse with a blessing.
Amen.
And the grace never to offend you, so that you won't place a curse on us. My Father, my God, give to us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let this day be a very successful day.
Amen.
Speak your blessing upon every effort of your children.
Amen.
And let a major revival break out here in Russia from today onward in Jesus' name. Let it be well with all of us.
Amen.
And all over the world, please send help to your children.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, listen. In your glory, listen. Praise Jehovah, hallelujah, amen. Praise Him, praise Him, God's glory, praise Him. Praise Jehovah, hallelujah, amen. Praise Him, God's glory, praise Him. Praise Jehovah, hallelujah, amen.
And give us the little to be blessed. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
According to your word, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Therefore, we receive the blessing.
Yes.
And Lord, that comes from giving in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Thank you, Father, dear mommy. Please strengthen them the more.
Amen.
Uphold them the more.
Amen.
As you have spoken already, let it be so for all of us.
Amen.
We bless your holy name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name we are praying.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, once more, God bless you.
Amen. Amen.